wondrous sights in the world. Several I purposed early in life that, if possible, I was going to see. Well, I've seen very few of those that I wanted to see. Niagara Falls was one of those sites, and I marvel at Niagara Falls. Standing there on the Canadian side, just watching that water pour over those falls. Inconceivable. First time I saw the Rocky Mountains, I marveled at the timberline, the bareness of the mountains above that timberline. I've been above the timberline, and it's fascinating. Going to California a few years ago, we turned aside Winslow, Arizona, to observe a phenomenon that had interested me from the first time I read about it. The meteorite crater southwest of Winslow. Crater almost a mile diameter. Created by a meteorite that fell approximately 1200 A.D. The heat of which destroyed all vegetation for a radius of about 225 miles. Destroyed all life, human, animal, vegetable. That attracted a great deal of attention after the explosion of the first atom bomb in southeastern New Mexico. I'll tell you later why my interest in that. But ever since, I've been reading and studying the Bible. I've been intrigued and impressed by the history of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's one of the sites on our agenda when we were privileged to go there recently. I wanted to see where Sodom and Gomorrah had been. I wanted to see the Dead Sea. And our Lord had said that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. One of the things pertaining to the days of Lot was the destruction of the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities of the plain, by fire that came from heaven. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah that he would not again destroy that upon the face of the earth by water, but it would be reserved for fire. In 2 Peter, we have a passage that has perplexed interpreters and commentators since this was first recorded. (Clears throat) I want to read 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye being mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Keep in mind this third verse. That gives a little detail that will prevail in the last days. Scoffers shall arise, walking in their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's all I want to read just now. The prophecy concerning the end, the destruction of the present heavens and the earth. Commentators, students of the word, interpreters of the word, were hard-pressed to interpret this passage of Scripture in Peter. They were guided in their thinking by a law of physics, so-called, that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So they resorted to interpreting this as that the earth is going to be renovated and the heavens renovated, but not destroyed. And there will not be a new heavens and a new earth, but they will have the same old heavens and the same old earth, but they're going to be purified by fire. But our Lord said in Matthew 24, concerning the eternity of his word, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word endureth forever. With the discovery of the atomic bomb, there was revealed the fact that matter can be destroyed. We entered into a new age, with the discovery of the release of the atomic power. The explosion of that first bomb, southeastern New Mexico, the heat so intense that the heavy steel girders supporting the bomb, the foundation built around it, I say the heat was so intense that those steel girders, the concrete, the dirt, considerable space around, reduced to liquid and then vapor and dissipated. Scientists have estimated that the heat at the center of a single atom, when it is exploded, is about 20 quadrillion degrees centigrade. The total explosion be less, but still many, many times the heat of the sun at its center. Now, the thing that has interested me about Sodom and Gomorrah and the Dead Sea, when scientists began experimenting in the heavy water, in the release of the atomic power, they came up with a word to describe the metal of which the atom could be more easily released than any other. And they gave it the name uranium. From the Greek word uranos, which means heaven, they connected it with fire from heaven. Now, the first time fire is mentioned in the Bible is important in the light of scriptural interpretation. It is a recognized fact that the first time mention is made of anything in the Word of God, the pattern is set. And the first time fire is mentioned in the Bible is in the 19th chapter of Genesis in connection with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire came down from heaven. They call that fire in Greek, Theon, fire from God, God's fire. It was fire from heaven that came down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains that destroyed them. After the release of the knowledge that matter could be destroyed, I wanted to look, if and when the opportunity provided itself, at the Dead Sea. When Lot chose that area of the earth for his habitation at the invitation of Abraham, their herdsmen were at odds, never fighting one with the other. And Abraham, the magnanimous man of God that he was, said to Lot, his nephew, "Pick out whatever land you want and take it. And you go with your family and your herds and your flocks and herdsmen, and I'll take that which you do not want." Lot cast his eyes toward the plains of the Jordan, lush with growth, watered with countless springs, brooks, creeks. He said, I'll take that. So he departed with his family, his herds, his flocks and herdsmen and all of their possessions down to that territory, of which Sodom and Gomorrah were the leading cities, but there were other cities of the plains also, three of which are enumerated, the rest not. Interesting to note that after he had departed, God turned to Abraham and said, now look, to the north as far as you can see, to the west, to the south, to the east, as far as you can see. I give all of that to you. And that included everything that Lot had chosen. But the wickedness of those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, were so great that God pronounced the judgment upon them. And he sent fire from heaven. And the fire from heaven consumed the lots, the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, and the other plain. Now, what interested me, in the light of the crater southwest of Winslow, Arizona, in the light of the destruction wrought, the explosion of the first atom bomb, southwest of Winslow, in the light of the fact that the release of atomic power results in the destruction of matter involved, I couldn't help but wonder how much of the land in that area of Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed. We went down to the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea. We went up to the Sea of Galilee, down to the Dead Sea. A sea 53 miles long, 8 to 10 miles wide, in some places over 1,200 feet deep. All of that earth, dirt, rocks, trees, cities, buildings, all of it gone. No rim. No piles of dirt around the side. The fire from heaven had dissolved, had melted dirt and rock for 53 miles long, 8 to 10 miles wide. Then the area, as far as you could see, bare. There's not a creature that lives in the Dead Sea. Our guide said, some form of algae, but nothing will grow in that area. One of the great experiments being carried on there today, Department of Agriculture, trying to develop some plant life that will grow in that area. 225-mile radius of the crater in Arizona, all life was gone. Vegetation is growing again. The heat of that meteorite not as intense as that which came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Los Angeles Times ran a long article on that meteorite and on the crater. I have in my possession copies of that article. Estimated that meteorite from the displacement occasion weighed approximately 12 million tons. It came across New England states going southwest, estimated at a speed which caused it to travel from Maine to Arizona in less than a minute and a half. It struck the earth with great force. The whole civilization was wiped out. Millions of dollars. Untold man hours expended digging down, trying to find the meteorite. Few were the traces that could be found of it. And as the scientists continued to study, it dawned on a group one day as they were studying the rim around the crater that the rim was caused by the throwing up and out of the dirt. And then it came to their realization that this meteorite had gone down into the earth and then exploded, causing the great crater that is now left. No remains of human life or animal life found within an area of radius of 225 miles, 450 miles across. What they did find one day, though, astonished them. There came a day when someone discovered the cave dwellers of Mesa Verde in southwest Colorado. And as they went into those caves, they found skeletons of women and little children. I mean the skeletons, every bone in place, the flesh drawn tight against the bones, the arms in place, skull in place. Some of these skeletons seated next to the wall. Over here, a group of children's skeletons, as if they'd been playing. At another place, a kettle of fashion with the skeletons of women around them. My mind went to Zechariah 14. Turn there for just a moment. Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 12. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all his people that are fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. They're standing on their feet, and their flesh is consumed. That would leave the skin drawn tight against the bones. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. This article in the Los Angeles Times says the findings of this particular individual was that the heat of that meteorite was such that it literally sucked all of the flesh and moisture out of those bodies. Now keep in mind, if you're not familiar with the caves of Mesa Verde, that the walls of dirt are some 5 or 6 feet thick. And the heat that consumed the flesh went through that. Now, many shelters have been built here in this area. Several years ago, by individuals anticipating an atomic war, dig down in the earth, thick concrete walls, 5, 6, 10 feet thick. These shelters are stocked with food to last for several years. I've often wondered what one would do if an atomic war had come, destroyed everybody except those in the shelter, and they came out and looked around and nobody here. That would have been something, wouldn't it? But that's neither here nor there. The shelters are disintegrating and passing out, and atomic war has not yet come. But those skeletons in the caves of Mesa Verde were judged to be aged women and children. They don't think they've ever found a skeleton of a man, nor of the younger women. The question arose, where were they? Where are they? Or where were they? The men out hunting and fishing, the younger women out working in the fields, tending to the flocks. But a whole civilization of Indians wiped out in about 1200 with the heat that came from that. That meteorite which created that crater. You can look on your maps and you can see a crater located there southwest of Winslow, Arizona. I talked to the curator of the museum there in the light of which I'm talking, and he wasn't interested in a thing I said or thing I thought or thing I might know. But what captivated me was that the residue as far as 225 mile radius was the same as that around the explosion of the bomb in southeastern New Mexico, the residue. Other research have been conducted. Residue on Mount Carmel has been found comparable to that. I didn't get up on Mount Carmel, but I did see the mountain. We passed down close to Jezreel, and we could, in our mind's eye, see Elijah running down that mountain slope, passing chariot after chariot and horseman after horseman, getting to Jezreel ahead of most of them. But when he got to Jezreel, he got the shock of his life. A woman said, "You tell Elijah that by this time tomorrow he'll be as my prophets." That is, you tell him he'll be dead this time tomorrow. And that journey from the top of the mountain to Jezreel, some 40 miles, didn't bother him at all. He took off and ran another 40 miles, trying to get away from Jezebel. Well, that's another story. It's another story. The residue of the atom bomb, of the meteorite crater, the same as around the Dead Sea. And we have had revealed in our lifetime, I say revealed, man knows nothing. Whatever man knows is that which God permits him to see. And God in his own time brings out these truths and things to man. And God has shown man in these days that matter can be destroyed. And reading here in Peter, I want us to look at this passage for just a little bit. I and many others have stood there hard by the Dead Sea and see where nothing grows or can grow, and know that one day that was, Scripture says, that was like unto the Garden of God. It was like unto the Garden of Eden. And now, you get a little of that water and swallow it, it's nauseating. You get it on your hands, it sticks. It burns. And we stood where it had been like unto the Garden of Eden, and now just a total barren, non-fertile waste. Just because of fire from heaven. Now look, if you will, here in the 10th verse of this third chapter of 2 Peter. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Some describe it as the noise of an arrow swishing by. Others as the noise of a tornado or a hurricane. I've never been in a tornado, but I had one pass over the church where I was preaching one night in May, just before we came here in July of 1950. You can hear nothing. The noise is so great now. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. With a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The Greek word translated elements, traced back to its origin, describes that this element here, or the word used in the Greek text, means one of the component parts of which the larger is made. The smallest particle or part of the whole. Take the smallest particle of which the earth is composed. That's called an element. Today, or for a while, it was called the atom. The smallest particle of component. But the atom divided into other parts. And so you've got some parts smaller than the atom itself. But here, the smallest component part going to melt with fervent heat. Now I repeat what I said a while ago. The scientists have estimated the heat at the center of a single atom when it is split and heat released at approximately 20 quadrillion degrees centigrade. That of the whole, they would estimate about half that, 10 quadrillion degrees centigrade. Fervent heat. The girders that held the bomb exploded in New Mexico were larger than the 120-pound steel of the railroads. Melted. The dirt all around the rock melted. A cavity was left. Melted, vaporized. Fervent heat. All the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. That's what the world is coming to. This world is going to be destroyed by fire. There are those who deny the capability of the world, heavens and the earth, being destroyed. They admit that matter can be created, but they will not admit that it can be destroyed. The Word of God says that God spoke and the universe came into existence. By His Word. The three words used in Genesis to describe the work of God. We have one word which means to make out of nothing. The other two words, one translated form and translated made, wherein God took existing matter and formed something out of it. But I want you to look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word translated created means to make out of nothing. No previous existing matter out of which it was made. Made out of nothing. Now turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the word create is the same word that's used in the first verse of the first chapter of Genesis. I'm going to make out of nothing a new heavens and a new earth, and the former heaven and earth shall not be remembered nor come to mind. There's going to be nothing about it to remind you of or cause you to recall. But be glad and rejoice forever in that when I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, her people a joy. The same word. He created the original heaven and earth. In Revelation we read that the present heaven and earth shall flee away. And they'll be found no more. Then behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. Now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since this is true, and since this heaven and earth are going to be destroyed, God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, since there is a God in heaven, since there is a day of reckoning coming, since we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, those of us who name the name of Christ, those who do not will appear at the great white throne judgment to be judged according to their works, to determine the extent of their chastisement and punishment in the lake of fire. Since God has a Son, and since He died for our sins, since He has made our eternal retribution, our peace and joy, to depend upon what the Son has done, since belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of happiness, way of salvation, since all things as we now know them are coming to an end one day, what manner of persons ought we to be? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The word translated new means that which has not been used before or seen before, but it's new. It's new. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. I saw with my own eyes. I stood with these 2 feet of mine on the ground that I was viewing, where the judgment of God came down in fire and burned, melted, vaporized, dissipated, dissolved, removed. Dirt, rock, trees, what have you, for 53 miles long and 10 miles wide, and then I don't know how many miles out in every direction. I saw it. It's true. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a God in heaven. There's a day coming when we'll answer to him. What can I do? 2 things. If you haven't trusted the Lord as your Savior, you can do that. What must I do to be saved? Nothing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. I've already done that. Then be conformed to his will. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many times a day we should turn to the Lord in confession of sins. Now, Father, bless this people. We rejoice in thy word. We know it's true, Lord. We need not physical evidences to convince us of the truthfulness of thy word. We believe these things, Lord, long before we ever saw any physical evidences attesting the truth and veracity of the Holy Bible. We thank thee that we were born in a home and reared in a family that had an inherent belief in the Holy Bible as the inherent Word of God. Now bless this people. As we go our separate ways, watch over us and keep us for Christ's sake. Amen.